This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline is Kyle Fredrickson from the Denver Gazette. He is our Avalanche insider. Kyle, my man, always great to catch up with you. And hey, that last outing for the Avs, that kind of looked more like I think what we were expecting to see in the Stanley Cup champs.
Yeah, I mean, it's let's not overreact to any result. I keep reminding that to myself, really, being a football guy covering hockey with so many games. But at the same point, you know, to what you just said, I think it's their most impressive win of the season when you consider all the factors. You know, they come off that real pretty much embarrassing home loss to the Kraken, and Jared Bednar calls them out and said, hey, these guys, that they didn't play good enough to win. That was ugly. We have to be better. And on the second night of back-to-back games, they went out and did it and beat a pretty good Vegas team that was really trying to claw its way back in the game. So certainly, yeah, as of this moment, the Avs, you know, trending in a good direction. Some things that are detracting from their success now and in the future maybe, but nothing to panic about at all. So.
How happy are you, though? You just said football guy talk, now covering all things Avs. Hey, how happy are you where you're sitting right now covering this Avs team, regardless of how the early part of the season goes? Man, at least you get mostly positive, right?
Yeah, I mean, just watching what happens with the Broncos right now, it's the same old story. And it's just not a lot of fun to have to dive into that, you know, sort of culture every day of just not, you know, producing consistently, and guys are going to be upset and not easy to talk to. But yeah, in the Avs locker room, I mean, these guys are geared up for what they think is a legit championship run, and I think they're off to a pretty decent start.
Yeah, and you're right. We have to be careful early on in the season as far as looking at the win-loss column and making that our only thing that we can use to assess this team. It's kind of each game by game you look at things. Obviously, getting Georgiev used to being the guy for the Avs. He was impressive last time out for Colorado.
Absolutely. You know, I think that was probably his best game, just really in terms of making big saves at big moments, right? I mean, we've seen him work side to side and be real athletic and show really why the Avs see him as the number one guy and a featured goalie in this league. But I'm really excited to see him, you know, on Tuesday night. The Avs are going to New York to play the Rangers, his old team. So, you know, you can bet that he's going to be motivated to show those guys that he's legit and deserved to be a starter regardless, you know, who was on that roster with him out there in New York. But, yeah, I think, you know, for Georgiev, it's going to take some time to adjust. There have been some goals that haven't been maybe the prettiest in terms of the way he's played them and how some goals have been allowed. But he's adjusting to this defense and how the Avs play and sort of what looks he can expect to get, you know behind Cale Makar and Devontae's. And, you know, in terms of his success also in Vegas, that also points back to how well that defense played. And that's what Georgiev told me in the post game. He's like, man, I love playing behind these guys because they really make my life easy. And when that decor is really performing at its top, it really does make a huge difference and making Georgiev's job, you know, a whole lot easier.
Kyle Fredrickson joining us, our Avs insider from the Denver Gazette. And again, going back to just that game itself, it did feel that felt like more like what we saw in the playoffs where, you know, you have a good defense. Guys are playing tremendous defense, maybe not putting so much on your goalie. But when you pair that with a really solid approach, I mean, that's the idea, right? Is you know you're going to have a good defense if you can play like that, but then you upgrade at the goalie position. I mean, that could potentially be the best of both worlds.
Yeah, exactly. And for the Avs, I mean, the formula was simple. You know, it was dominate the puck. In the first period, I think there was like a 16-minute stretch where Vegas didn't even attempt a shot. And it was mostly just because the Avs were keeping it in their offensive zone. And when it did get back, the D-men were moving it up quickly and being part of the attack. And even, you know, with, I think I might have mentioned Toews earlier, he's still hurt. You know, the Avs are missing one of their top defensive players, but they're still humming, you know, with Bo Byram and Cale Makar as their top duo. You know, they're still producing at an extremely high rate, still one of the best tandems in the league, I think, when you look at them compared to the rest of the league in terms of that high-end skill. Because, yeah, in terms of getting it to the forwards, you know, I think there is a little bit of concern on Bednar's part of that middle six, you know, what are the best combinations? You know, who should be that second line center? You know, who plays the best with Val Nichushkin? I mean, he's been one of the team's best players. He's not even on that top line. So there are some tough decisions to make, but man, when that top line is humming and you know, those guys are playing their two-man game with Mikko Rantanen, just really setting up some beautiful goals this year, you know, it's a beautiful thing to watch. And that's what's nice about watching this team now. You know, in terms of that top line, it's like last season just carried over into this year for the most part. Nathan MacKinnon looks just as fast and is just as dominant as usual. And he's also winning faceoffs at a much higher rate in the early part of the year. You know, we'll sort of follow that as the year goes on. But yeah, a lot to like top to bottom in this group. And yeah, from what you said, you know, from everything this Avs team does well, you know, Georgiev, for the most part, should just be able to hang back and watch, because there's a lot of fun highlights that he gets to see up close.
Well, yeah, that was kind of what we talked about in the playoffs, or I suppose after they won the Cup, when we were going back and forth about Kemper and what they might do at the goalie position, and we all kind of thought, man, if you can get a slight upgrade, however slight that might be, imagine what that does to this team that, you know, I mean, I always watch hockey playoffs and think, I was always told, hey, it's going to be whoever has the hot goalkeeper, whoever's going to be the guy that could just make crazy stop after stop. And that wasn't the Avs in the playoffs. So pairing him and maybe easing him into this as this Avs team plays great defense, man, that could be really fun to see how this one progresses.
Yeah, and, you know, with Frankie as the backup goalie as well, I mean, they've been very quick to use them when the team feels like Georgiev needs a break, and that's mostly just been on, you know, one end of these back-to-back games they've played where they put Francois in the game. You know, Frankie was the goalie for that cracking game, and it wasn't a good performance from really anyone on the team. You know, a few guys stood out, but they weren't skating with the same speed that we saw in Vegas, and not all those goals were on Frankie. But the team trusts both these guys, and I would expect them to not be 50-50, but pretty close going through the year, especially just to see how Georgiev gets settled. I'm, you know, I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen on this road trip. You know, the Avs are going out east. They got to play the Rangers on Tuesday. They get a couple days off before facing, I think, the Islanders and the Devils on back-to-back days. So, yeah, you know, how they're going to employ those goalies, how that sort of relates to the success of the team, all curious things. And, you know, the Avs are really need to get Darren Helm back healthy. He's been skating pretty hard in practices. No timeline on when he's going to be back. But without Gabe Landeskog in the lineup until, you know, we're looking at January, that 3-month time frame, a lot of guys are going to have to really improve their play to make sure this team isn't, you know, just scratching to get in the playoffs. You know, they want to be a top seed going in there.
Kyle, tell us about, you know, the loss of, you know, for the foreseeable future, few months, whatever, with Gabriel Landeskog. You know, we tend to look at this team, and I think we're spoiled after last year going, oh, well, they're so deep, they're so talented, they'll be able to recover. But not just the physical stuff that Landeskog can bring. It's the mental stuff, too. It's the leadership ability that a guy like him has. That's a bigger loss than, you know, just talking about a couple of solid players for you.
Right, sure, and you make a very solid point. I mean, everything that Gabe does well, it's just his command of the room and the respect that he has. That really kind of is the best thing. You know, a championship team needs that out of their captain, and Gabe has been so consistent and steady. The good news is that he's going to be still hanging around, you know, at least at practices and even on some road trips, basically being an extra coach, just a person who can lend his opinion to the staff or players what's going on. He's not going to go overboard with it. But, you know, he's going to be in the room, and I think guys need that and will look forward to having that. You know, the thing that Jared Bednar told me, though, in the wake of all this is, you know, there's no, like, leadership vacuum on this team. There are a ton of guys who carry their weight in terms of just their play or their speak, their talk, in terms of what their leadership is. You know, Val Nichushkin, you know, he barely says a word. He's a real kind of lone wolf on this team. But when guys watch him play and see him do all his details just perfect and his motor just never stops, that carries weight. And guys see that and they want to improve that in their own game. So even without Gabe, you know, they have a lot of that. I think most of all, his biggest effect is just that trickle down of what it does to force the Avs to play one or two guys in that fourth line that maybe they think should be in the AHL developing still, or they're still not totally positive they belong in the NHL. So I've seen, you know, we're going to see a lot of shifting of players between that AHL roster and Loveland and Denver, you know, Martin Kaut, you know, Anton Bleed. They put him on waivers and they were hoping he'd come back. But he gets picked up by another team. So, you know, you risk the the possibility of losing a guy. Actually, Lucas Sedlak, sorry, not Bleed. Got my guys confused there. But just to my point there, you know, it's, you got to kind of track who these guys are and who's going to end up, you know, popping in their head, because until Gabe gets back and until Helm gets back, the Avs are really going to have some rotating chairs there to figure it out. And those guys only play, you know, maybe 5 to 8 minutes. But in the grand scheme, you know, you can't have a weak shift and expect, you know, to return to a Stanley Cup caliber run in the playoffs if you can't get consistency every night. So, you know, I think there's no real long-term concern that Gabe won't be back for the playoffs. That's when they really need him. But he's certainly a big absence in the storyline that we'll be following until he gets back.
Kyle, last one for you, man. How concerned are you? How concerned should we be about the penalty kill unit? That's been a struggle. I know you outlined that in the Denver Gazette, too. How do you fix that? What is Coach Bednar talking about when it comes to that?
Yeah, it's weird. You know, I don't know that we're watching a bunch of penalty kills and thinking, man, they're playing terrible hockey. What are these guys doing? They don't know what they're, you know, doing out there. It's been a lot of strange bounces and a few mistakes, a few misjudgments, and Bednar will admit to that. But, you know, in every game this year, they've allowed a penalty kill goal. And I think it's a trend that's worth following. But, again, sort of, you know, looking at this in a vacuum and not overreacting, I think they have the personnel and the scheme to be a good penalty-killing team. There's just been some issues with chemistry and figuring out how that group's going to come together. You know, what are the best pairings? I think people have sort of looked at that Eric Johnson, Josh Manson pair as sort of being a scapegoat for some of these mistakes. And some of that might be true. I mean, EJ hasn't been super sharp to start the year, but at the same token, I mean, these guys just need a little bit of time, I think, to get a little fluidity in it. Cause you know, Bo Byram did score a shorthanded goal the other night. So it shows you that when they're on the attack and they're aggressive and making smart decisions, like this team can score, you know, no matter how many guys it has on the ice. But if every single game you're letting in one power play goal from your opponent, you're just limiting your success, right? I mean, you're basically giving a gimme to the other team. And even with the Avs scoring at the high rate that they do, I mean, they don't want to be giving that up.
Yeah, no question about it. Kyle, appreciate you as always, my friend. And hey, whatever you do, don't let the Avs struggle, because we need the Avs. We need the Nuggets more than anything in the history of the world now. So that's on you, my friend, okay? Figure it out.
All right. I'll give them some good juju. I'll report back to you.
All right, my man. Kyle, appreciate you, dude. Love what you do.
Yep, bye.
Kyle Fredrickson of the Denver Gazette. Yeah, we can't have those two teams struggle. We cannot have it. It is a non-starter for us in the state. Future headlines coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.